opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Inspirational women are increasingly popular in the news and media, but many go unheard and their stories are never told. Women to Watch with Susan Rocco captures the stories of many women who truly make a difference. Women to Watch is the vehicle for developing new leaders, encouraging younger generations, and in building self-esteem for future entrepreneurs.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to another week of Women to Watch here on WWDB, Talk 860, and womentowatch.net. I'm thrilled to be back in the studio this afternoon with a very, very special guest, and I'll be introducing her in just a moment. Before we get started, if you're listening and you would like to join the conversation, we would love to hear from you. You can call into the show and ask a question by dialing 888-329-3306. That's 888-329-3306. A quick mention also, we have a wonderful survey out on our website that we would love for you to fill out for us as we are pitching a new TV show. And we're trying to gather some information and insights into what you might be most interested in. So please visit womentowatch.net and just answer these four quick questions for us. It'll be a wonderful help. That's womentowatch.net, N-E-T. And lastly, my latest On the Road series has just gone live. It was my interview with Kay Koplowitz, the founder of USA Networks, and you can find that sit-down that I did with Kay in New York on our website as well. So again, that's womentowatch.net, womentowatch.net, N-E-T. And lastly, if I don't tell you to follow our social media pages, my assistant Taylor is going to get very angry with me. So please do. We have three very active social media pages on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Women to Watch Media. So now I am very excited and thrilled to have with me in the studio today Gabriella Vaca. Gabriella is the Vice President of System Engineering at Comcast. Gabriella, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
I'm glad to have you. We've met a long time ago, it seems.
Yes, yes.
And I've been waiting for this day to have you in here and share your story. So I guess one of the key pieces of your story is that you were born in Italy. And you grew up in a small town in Italy between Torino and Milan, which you describe as, I love how you said this, it's really the very first gift that you ever received was growing up in this beautiful town. So tell us a little bit more about those younger years and what it was like there.
Sure. It was really a wonderful gift to be born and raised in a beautiful country. Simple and very simple and loving family. And I didn't grow up with the leaders, but I grew up with a family that really gave me wonderful values, which is what I bring with me and I brought with me to the States 20 years ago. My childhood was very unstructured in a way. It was in this beautiful small town where everybody knew each other. You know, at that time, it felt very, too many people were too curious about everything. Right now, it feels like a community, but
yeah,
how things change in life.
Everyone was watching
you, right? Everybody was watching, anybody, really.
Yeah.
And my dad was, he used to sell and maintain, big machinery for the farmer community out there. It was really important in my early childhood to see that for him, business was not just business. Business was personal. Business was when you visit the people in the farmer community, they offer you coffee, their wine, and you spend time with them. You get to know each other, right? So one was again a value that I brought with me. My mom used to work for a company called Olivetti, great company, very international for the time. She balanced, you know, life and work, and she struggled through it. So I used to spend the week, Monday through Friday, with my grandparents, and I loved it. They had animals. They did not have those complicated lives that my parents used to have. And last but not least, my nonna was, Nonna Angelina, really was the hero of my role model at the time. I mean, she was this tiny woman, honestly, not high education, elementary school, but she was strong, she was clever, she raised her daughter through World War II, and she really taught me those values of you need to be independent, mm-hmm. and you need to learn, and you need to be curious, because you don't know what life is gonna bring to you, so yeah. be ready.
Did you have siblings?
I have a sister who, mm-hmm. by the way, is here with me in Balakinwid at the moment.
Oh,
she's visiting me and doing an internship with her own business at Temple. So very nice, very glad to have her. And, you know, I learned how a woman can really build upon her value and her skills and work on herself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when she grew up, she was insecure. Then she's, you know, now she has two different jobs, the great leadership position. She's a thinker. I'm very proud of her.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And she was you know, it took a while to get to really develop a friendship, but mm-hmm. Because she's a 6 year younger than me, we are best friend.
Yeah, that's so nice. Sometimes it does take a little bit
longer. It does, especially when there is
an
age difference.
Yeah. How old were you when you went to live with your Nona, your grandma?
So it was, I was a child, and, you know, again, my mom used to work Monday to Friday, and we just lived not even a mile apart.
Okay,
my Nona,
so she was really,
babysitting. Yeah, she, in a way, she was babysitting, but I was spending the night at her house, and mm-hmm. I loved, you know, when you kind of wake up in the winter and she put the warm clothes by my bed and, aww. Oh, my goodness, it was just wonderful memory, always, always surrounded by love.
Yeah.
And, you know, these are the gift of life. This is not something that you picked, right? Your family, you know, there are so many very difficult situations in the world, and knowing, you know, appreciate it and have the sense of gratitude for what you have been given is, you know, is really important for all of us.
Well, grandparents have a very special way of, you know, loving unconditionally.
Yeah,
right?
You go
back to your parents and it's more about the do's and don'ts.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
absolutely.
Wonderful. So what made you decide to leave Italy? Italy is a place that, you know,
everybody
kind of dreams about.
I
and
know.
It's such a wonderful and beautiful country. So what made you decide to come to the United
so
States?
A couple of things, really. One was I have a degree in computer engineering, so I started in a technical field, and I had a couple of different jobs in Italy, but I came quickly to the realization that was going to be very difficult for a woman to have both a life and a family and a career. And I always struggle with this concept of, you know, with this balance between the two. And my first job was actually in a data center with 500 men.
Wow.
And there was me and another woman and the executive assistant of the big boss, right? So as you can imagine, my introduction into technology was kind of rough, but you know, I developed obviously competence, relationship. I gained respect for all the people I worked with, but it was clear to me that I couldn't have the balance that I needed. And I met my husband, a wonderful man who really value, you know, exploration in, you know, different culture and autonomy, and really believed in women as well as men to, you know, do whatever they could do to fill their potential, I call them.
Yes.
So we decided to get out of, to be open to opportunities, right? Because you never know what's going to happen in life. But you try to build some awareness, some foundation, so that eventually when the opportunity comes up, you are ready to take it. Yeah. And the opportunity came when I moved to Milan, and I work with people from a company in California, and we developed a great relationship. They knew, obviously, they were bullish about my competence, but they also liked the way I was open to different cultures. So I was the perfect fit when Pacific Bell, a long time ago, you know, they built their first cellular, you know, digital network, and they needed specific expertise from Europe.
Okay.
So I was hired, and I was ready to take the opportunity, and my husband really was the one who made what we call the last mile decision, meaning, you know, when you know that it's the right thing to do, but you say, oh, but I'm so tied, tied to my family, my friends, and he was, no, we are going to go for the adventure, and we're going to learn. It's going to be intense. It's going to be maybe difficult, and then we can always come back.
Yeah.
But then I fell in love with the culture, with the opportunities, and I had to change so many things in my own life, and how I was approaching risk, and many other things that really made the experience so meaningful and so beautiful. That I, again, lucky that I had. I'm both Italian and American, and I have the best of two wonderful cultures.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because if we go back for a moment, your interests were in philosophy and psychology.
Yes.
That's really what you were
yes.
exploring. How did you end up studying technology?
Yes. So at the high school was a wonderful experience. Was a public school in Italy. And my interests were concept, right? I love philosophy. I love the history. I love what I loved about mathematics and science was the concept behind them. And so you would think that I would have studied for some. Humanist type of subject, and that's exactly what I want to do. I want to study psychology and become a social worker.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then my mom, who knew me very, very well, she told me we talked and said, Gabriella, I understand why you want to do it, but with all respect, you cannot even manage your own psychology right now. And so, of course, I was a mom, whatever. What do you want to do? But the reality is that she knew me so well, and I'm highly empathic. And it took me a while to transform empathy into emotional intelligence. Mm. So I would have absorbed the pain of the world, and I would have made my life miserable. And she didn't want that for her daughter. Mm. So the decision to get into technology was, well, I was pretty good with science and math. But I realized the opportunities of technologies in every domain and in the communities. It was funny that during high school I realized how important was the microwave for women at that time,
yeah.
because it really saved time, right?
Yeah.
Or how science and birth control was helping women really having children when they decided, and not just when they could happen. So technology for me was, I got closer to technology because almost the intrinsic motivation of what technology can do for people, mm. more than falling in love with coding or
yes.
the electronics of computers, right?
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was important. When you study technology and you realize how computer can really become enablement for anything, any new business. I could go in healthcare. I could go in business, in automation, supply chain, whatever. The world, the sky was the limit.
That's right.
At that point.
That's right.
That's what I loved about technology, and that's still you know, something that is staying with me even now. Technology is more than delivering code or software in a production environment. I look at technology as what can technology do for a business or people. I look at the value.
Yes,
right?
That's so interesting, because what you were doing was you were looking for a way to help others.
I was.
Yeah, and your mom saw that you having empathy is so critical to being a psychologist, mm-hmm. or, you know, to study those types of subjects, but she knew it how it would affect you.
Yes.
Right? That was
yes.
so intuitive.
She knew me very, very well.
Yeah. But you're right. So you were taking technology as a way to still continue to help others.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote a quote that I thought was very interesting. You said, "I needed time to explore, sharpen concepts in my mind, develop awareness around my character and beliefs."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when we talk about, I often will ask my guests, what were your aspirations and challenges as a young woman? And what you're saying is very openly, it's been a journey. It's taken me my lifetime to kind of develop and shape my beliefs. Tell me a little bit about that. Do you think that all of us go on that journey, or do you think some people are born with an innate awareness of their?
I'm not sure. Some people can recognize their skills and aspiration, what they like to do, pretty early in life. I mean, I'm surprised sometimes when I talk with maybe high school students or in general, young adults, and they know exactly what they're going to do in their life. And on one hand, I love it because, wow, it's good to have a clear objective, right? On the other side, I'm thinking, well, will you let yourself explore? Will you be open to opportunities when they come your way?
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was a journey. It's always been a journey of learning and researching and understanding how could I be relevant and meaningful to me and to others. This is really the only aspiration I had, in quote, when I was growing up. I did not know if I wanted to be, whatever, a doctor, a teacher, or, whatever I wanted to do. But I knew that I was good at making people feel good about themselves. I knew that I've always been a connector of people and thoughts, and I wanted to have a purpose somehow. It took me a long time to understand what was that purpose. Even when I got in technology my first few years, I didn't recognize, I was doing my job, and I always did my job very well, at my best. But then later in life, much later in life, and honestly, when I stabilized what I called my, work and life and my family situation, because when the kids were just born, everything seems to be so, oh my goodness.
Scary.
Scary, yes, a bit.
Hard, scary, yeah.
But then I realized that my relevance is not only in doing my job and do it well, but is also in creating a community, giving back to the community, is disclosing what are my values, because that's important in any type of organization you work with, mm-hmm. right? My mm-hmm. creativity is very important. So I needed time to explore.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and engineering is kind of, and I think it is black and white. Right?
It tends to be black and white.
Yeah. So here you're studying this very black and white subject.
Yeah.
But yet you are someone who is curious and open and exploring, right?
Yeah.
And wanting to learn new things.
Yeah.
So how did you balance the two of those interests?
In two ways, really. One was this, I was always thirsty for, again, concept and framing and packaging my knowledge in a way that makes sense to me. Okay? So this was by reading, by, an MBA, take an MBA, which is challenging when you don't really master the language.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind
that was
of
another, right,
right.
Whole other thing you
yes,
had to
yes, yes, yes. So that's and also surrounding myself with friends and people I could talk about these this concept. But the second one was, and this is really in the past few years, was to learn to put the skill at the service of the organization. Not, you know, don't hide your talent, right? Mm. I felt that only probably a few years ago I got to the point where I recognized that, you know, framing and organizing thoughts and making sure that people align with purposes, the value of change management when you are a leader for an organization are very, very important skills that a leader needs to have. I'm very comfortable with those type of skills now, but you have to accept that you are playing a gray area. Mm. And you are not going to be right all the time. And you can, as good as, you know, you'll do your best, and then you need to trust that people understand that doing your best is probably okay, even if it's not reaching the 100% target that you would like for you.
Yes. If you're just tuning in, my guest this afternoon is Gabriella Vaca, and she's the Vice President of System Engineering at Comcast. And something that we spoke about before we started the show was this balance between fitting in and leaning in. I think most people today know Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In. And it can be a hot topic, right,
Indeed.
Among women. And so tell me your views on that and how much we should be focusing on leaning in and how much we should be focused on.
Yeah. So I had my first really 20 years in Italy, in France, where I worked, and then in the States, you know, the first 20 years of professional life, I spent a lot of time trying to fit in. Fit in meaning you understand the dynamic of the organization, you understand that a lot of the organization, at least in technology, they are more male-oriented. And so I spent a lot of time fitting in. Right? And then 4 years ago, three years ago, something happened in my life. I lost my mom, which is you know, a pain that a lot of people is natural, right? A lot of people go through that pain, but it really woke me up to the fact that, you know what, you're a person of value, beliefs. You have a different way, for example, of looking at technology to related to people. Why are you not using your skills? Mm. Life comes and goes, and you don't want to waste it. And so I really started to lean in much more than what I did for my first 20, 25 years of work, right? And I realized that this lean in and fit in when you lean in, you take risk. It's a lot of work. You have to put a lot of energy when you want to change some type of situations or, you know, leadership-wise in new projects. And it was really like the yin and the yang, the lean in and the fit in. It's something that you need to have both. You need to balance them. Sometimes because of where you are in your life, you don't really have the energy to lean in much. Okay, that's fine, right? You're going to try to fit in and trust the community you're working with, and, you know, you're going to let them lead you in a way. When you are high energy and, you know, you really have something to put on the table and play with, then that's your time to don't waste your talent and lean in.
Yeah. That's such great advice or a good reminder that we're not always in life at our highest energy.
We don't.
You know, if you're a young mother, right, with small children
my goodness.
And babies at home, you're not perhaps able to fully lean in 100%.
That was one of my learning. And there are ups and downs, and sometimes dealing with change is difficult, even when beautiful things happen to you. Like I had, you know, Luke and I, my husband, have two beautiful boys, 16 and 18, healthy, you know, good kids. I cannot be happy. But at the beginning of our life, we did not have a community to support us. In Italy, I grew up with a model where you get raised by the parents, and grandparents,
yes,
right?
Right, the community.
Well, the community, yeah. Not in California, where we lived in the first 8 years we moved to the States.
Okay.
But it was so powerful to see that, well, you know what, maybe you don't have your grandparents and your parents, but you have friends and that you trust, and you kind of help each other and raise your kids. But the point is, even beautiful changes in your life can be difficult to, you know, to adjust, and motherhood, and especially when you have young families, can be scary.
Mm-hmm.
Can be, you know, can be, you know, you don't feel settled, and so that's both my husband and I spent a lot of time in balancing. We both worked, and we have children. We decided to have au pairs. That for us was a wonderful choice because we like to have young energy in the house, helping us with the kids. So we, you know, that was really a good solution for us. But it was interesting. Today, my youngest turned 16. And I see this young...
Happy birthday.
Thank
What's
you.
His name?
Happy birthday, Carlo.
Yeah, happy birthday, Carlo.
And I see him and his brother, Matteo, two young men. And it's so hard to recognize, right, when
yeah.
they were little and when you were so anxious about all what could happen in their mm-hmm. life and
yes.
and so on. So,
and now they're becoming adults themselves.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
But so now this is a new time for you.
Yes, it
right?
is.
As far as your career and, mm-hmm. and as a mother, when they're not that little anymore, it alleviates some of that.
Absolutely.
That distraction and worry. Would you consider yourself introverted or extroverted?
I was an extrovert, all, you know, until probably my, I don't know, 25, 30, maybe even a little bit more in life. But I have to tell you that it took me a long time to really like myself and really be comfortable with my own thoughts, and I'm becoming more an introvert. I'm discovering a new part of myself that I did not know that was there. Actually, this could be a good, you know, what people don't tell you about aging, right? It's not just a new wrinkle in your face. It's also a new balance that you have with your soul and what you have learned, and you know what makes you happy, or you can balance all those different emotions in your life.
Mm, paying attention
to
who you are.
And
yeah.
so, yeah, I'm becoming more an introvert, I guess.
Well, when you say introvert, are you saying you're more comfortable maybe alone sometimes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I need my time alone
yeah.
now. Sometimes I really need my space, my place to think, to put down thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I have so many always. I'm a thinker, so always a lot of thoughts in my head. And a great way to put order in your thoughts is write them down, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you need quiet
and
to do
need,
that.
You need the quiet,
yeah.
And so is a good. It's a good journey
mm-hmm.
to discover that. Hey, yeah, I can be comfortable myself. I don't need only energy. You know, the people, the energy coming from other people. I have energy in my soul, and I'm comfortable with it.
Do you think that women pay more attention to that than men?
You know. I'm going to say yes, but understanding that yes, I'm generalizing, right? Because there are some men who are equally, they put equal attention to those emotions and thoughts. But in general, women and yeah, they tend to think, they tend to be maybe a little shy about their putting their talent at work, and that's something that especially young generation really have to overcome, and we all have the responsibility to help them become more comfortable with themselves. There is no longer, you know, one thing I grew up with was the myth of this Walt Disney princess, where, you know, they were all beautiful, not sure about smart, but they were all, you know, happy ending. And
looking for Prince Charming.
Absolutely. And the reality is you really need to come, you need to become comfortable with your strengths and weaknesses. You need to understand there is no black and white, and a lot of grays, and the more and the sooner, especially young women, understand the complexity of all that things, and that your life is the journey to discover your emotion, your skills, your weaknesses, and also to obviously overcome them as much as possible, and also put those talent at the service of others. I think they're going to become much more comfortable with not only themselves but also with risk taking. Mm. In jobs, and at that point, again, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, I love that. It's what you just said about, you know, life is really the journey of discovering who you are. Who you are.
Yeah.
Listen, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I want to talk a little bit about, you have a very strategic way of managing stress. So I want to talk about that. We'll be right back.
This is Kristen Hilsley, financial advisor of the Foley Hilsley Group, with a big announcement. Last fall, I hosted a women's lifestyle conference to help the women who do it all take control of their finances. Now I'm excited to announce a new partnership with Women to Watch Media to help show women how to own their financial future. We'll have newsletter articles, blog posts, announcements of live events, and a lot more, all available at womentowatch.net and our own website, FoleyHilsleyGroup.com. I'm thrilled about this new partnership, and I look forward to being your resource for all things financial. Stay tuned to learn more or visit our website at FoleyHilsleyGroup.com. The Foley Hilsley Group is affiliated with Robert W. Baird & Company, member SIPC. Log on to FoleyHilsleyGroup.com to learn more. That's FoleyHilsleyGroup.com or call 610-238-6636.
Since 1858, Mount St. Joseph Academy has been educating girls to be leaders, founders, and independent thinkers. Students are taught to be collaborative, courageous, compassionate, confident, and spiritual. In this student-centered environment, the young women are transformed by recognizing their own potential and are encouraged to use it to make a difference in the world. To learn more about Mount St. Joseph Academy, go to www.msjacad.org or call 215-233-3177. That's msjacad.org or 215-233-3177.
Welcome back, everyone, to another week of Women to Watch on WWDB, Talk 860 and WomenToWatch.net. My name is Sue Rocco, and I'm joined this afternoon by Gabriella Vaca. Gabriella is the Vice President of System Engineering at Comcast. A very big job. Very big job, I want to say. I'd love for you to talk about your strategy for managing stress, because the truth is, none of us can go through the day and not be bombarded with things that, you know, kind of change the course of what our goal was that morning. And so what's your philosophy for that? What's your technique?
Well, first of all, you do really need to recognize that you are stressed. And sometimes stress becomes obvious because you really really try to be the best at too many things at the same time, right?
Mm-hmm. So women do that particularly.
And women do that because we want to do, we put so much pressure on us for doing a good job and fulfilling all these different roles in life. And that's obviously becomes very stressful. So one of the techniques that I've used is, recognize all these different, I call it the goddesses in me, right? All those different personalities and roles. I'm the mom, the wife, the daughter, the friend, the
vice president.
And just just, you know, have a very rational conversation with all those different goddesses and then say, okay, who is going to take the lead this week or this month?
Yeah.
And it helped me prioritizing. Right? Mm-hmm. It helped me recognize, no, you cannot be at your best every week in the year in a specific role. And it also helped pacify all that need of always, try to kind of reach for goals and have your aspirations a little bit more balanced. For example, I told you when I had the painful experience in my life with my mom, she died of cancer 3 years ago. The daughter needed to take the lead. Mm. There was no other option for me. And I had to share. I'm kind of I'm not a poker player. I've never been, and I have to put my emotions out there on the table. And I told my team at that time going through this painful experience. I'm not going to talk about it, but you need to know that this is happening to me in life, right? And the daughter has the priority right now. Mm. And with that, there are, you know, now I'm in a different phase in my life. And yes, I can put a lot of energy on my job and what I do for the community, my interest for, you know, nonprofit and other organization I'm part of.
Mm-hmm.
But especially when you are at the beginning of your journey, recognizing what gives you stress and putting, again, all those different personality around the table and have a conversation is very healthy. Mm. It's not easy, but it's very healthy.
Yeah, well, and it can be as simple as saying, who do I need to be right now in this moment?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's great advice.
Yes.
Really good advice. I read that what scares you sometimes is unfulfilled potential. Mm. And when you talk about that, you mean for yourself, for your team, and for your family. And my question for you is, having that, the fear of unfulfilled potential, does that create unnecessary stress on you?
Yeah, well, it depends how you define it. Because unfulfilled potential is not only for achieving a goal, but is also, you know, achieving a goal that is reachable, is feasible, and make you happy. And so if you leave this personal dimension of what makes you happy, what makes you feel good about yourself aside, everything is a stress. But if you consider it, then it's become part of the journey, right? That's it. That's very important. There are some people, for example, when we talk about work, how people work together, it could be an organization or nonprofit, it doesn't matter. The unfulfilled potential becomes people who are smart. They are all driven. They want to achieve a purpose, but because of personal reason or personalities, cannot work as a team. Right? Now, my role as a leader is to facilitate that conversation and really help them guide through the process of working together as a team. That's, to me, the definition of failure, for example, for teaming. When you have bright people who can just not work it out because of a personal difference, they cannot put the purpose ahead of their own personal beliefs or the way this is how I do things and so on. I hope I responded.
I think that's, I wanted to ask you about your philosophy for motivating your team. So I think what you're saying is that it's not, the pressure isn't there when you're talking about potential unfulfilled. It's a way to help.
Yes.
Yourself, your team, and and your family, and it's something that's going to bring them happiness in the end. So that is not a stressor.
Yes.
So what's your philosophy for motivating your team, pulling out their greatest potential, their skills, their gifts?
So I always try to respond and really address the why, right? Why are we working on this specific project? Why there was a reorganization? Why this need is so important right now? Why the business partner think that this is a priority versus this other? Aligning on purpose and always asking the why question mm-hmm. is incredibly important for organization, because we all want to do well, mm-hmm. right? But it's not just a matter of, achieving something. It's achieving something with the understanding of what is the value, what is going to do for people, for your business partner, and so forth. It's what I call the, you know, technology as a business for the business, mm-hmm. meaning that technology is part of the business, and understanding the big picture, having this wider lens. Mm-hmm. Right? There was a book that I read, so I'm quoting just a business book, but it's important. It's a great motivation. All our PowerPoints always start, the first slide is always the reason for being.
Yeah.
And it helps people in the team and our business partners to frame why something is important for us and how technology is or the project is going to help changing the situation.
Right. Well, in light of that, and I agree with you, why is the most important question.
Yes.
So why do you believe now, in this time in history, it is important for women in particular to rise up into leadership roles and not just in technology, across all industries?
Because more and more work is not just work. Work is making the difference for you, for communities. It really takes a different skills to do anything in any type of work. It could be, let's talk about the technology, just because I'm in that field. Technology, as you said earlier, it is a little bit, or it was a little black and white. But there is so much change today in the communities, in new technologies coming in how we live our digital life, that understanding how everything fits together with the person is key. Now, women have the talent. They always look at things from different perspective, right? They look at how this, if I deploy this specific technology, how this user will feel. It comes natural. And by the way, there are techniques. There is this beautiful concept about design thinking, right? Mm-hmm. That is basically is designing programming. It may not be just technology program that look at what are the needs and the wants of people, and what is there's going to be the value in their lives. Mm-hmm. Because today the experiencers are so proactive and so guided that people may not know consciously what they want, but when they see something that they really like, they are going to latch on to it. Mm. Now, women have that skills, and the more we can help them recognize those, call it transferable skills, right, that help always have a wider lens to whatever we do, I really think that they will be succeeding. They will be happy with their life. The value to the community, right? This positive energy that we give to the world, mm-hmm. it's just going to increase exponentially.
Yeah, I often say that women notice subtleties.
Yeah, they do.
Right?
They do.
That men just they don't.
I always say, and it's funny the difference. I may not remember names, but I will remember exactly the feeling in that room, right?
Yeah,
I remember
yes.
how that person felt. I remember the concept, if not the words that the person used.
Mm-hmm.
And if you send a woman and a man to a meeting, right, believe me, they will notice different things.
Yes.
And the power of the two
that's right.
is going to be, exponentially higher than what each one can do by themselves.
That's right.
So it's...
How do you believe we can encourage more women to engage with technology? Because, as you state, technology touches every area of our lives. So we do. We want more women in technology to bring those
gifts. I think we need a lot of venues because not all women get motivated by the same thing, right? Some women really get motivated about doing coding. And so for them, the venue can be learn how to code, or it can be robotics, STEM education in general. Some other people, like me, for example, they got closer to technology because they saw the potential of technology in changing people's life. And they are equally equipped to create a new product, to come up with ideas. Mm-hmm. And there probably are others that we just need to explore. But we also need to help, especially young women, help us in identifying, what would work for you. What is what can make the difference now that maybe you are in college and you're thinking back about your life? What could have been help you get closer to technology and science when you were in middle school or in high school? They probably know. And if we ask the question correctly, they may tell us.
My guess is today they bring so much more to young people, the awareness that technology is not simply about machines.
Right.
When we were growing up, I think it was I had a very narrow minded opinion or, thought about what it was, and it really encompasses so much. Something that I love about you, the way you describe your brand, is being a technology humanist.
Yes.
So what does that mean?
Yeah. Later in life, I discovered that I really, I'm really sit at the intersection of technology, call it strategy and execution, and humans. And humans means understanding the psychology of humans, the psychology organization, understand the cultural aspect when you work with a diverse force, which is so important in today's world. That point of convergence is it's not easy to find, right? And there are a lot of because if you are too much on a people leader in quote, you may be perceived as you are weak. If you are too much on the technology side, you may be perceived as using a good judgment but also authority too much. So balancing the two is really, really powerful. And by the way, balancing the two, it means that sometimes in my job, I have to use command and control because maybe we are in crisis situation, and unfortunately, this is the way we're going to resolve this crisis, right? But if I use the command and control all the time, I don't consider it a success, of course. The point is that you have to be really balanced about the people awareness and the technology strategy and execution. And that point took me a long time to get to it.
Yeah. It's a lot of trial and error.
Yes.
Right? And every error is a lesson. Let's talk about your current role as vice president of system engineering and what you're focused on right now. What is an objective that you are working on?
Yeah. So I have a responsibility for the enterprise solution, which is I look at the internal services for, I call it people and organization in Comcast. So I have the ERP, which is all the system to enable employment, so the HR system, onboarding, and so on, the financial system, supply chain, the IT, so the internal, all the different equipment that today people and employees need to do their work because they are obviously connected all the time, right? We want a mobile, agile workforce. It's a fairly new organization. We put it together in end of last year as a way to connect the services for the enterprise and really give them an identity. It kind of reinvented the workplace as well as the services for the employees of Comcast.
I sometimes feel overwhelmed with the speed with which technology is changing, right? So I'll master something, and then, you know, the following week, something new and better is out. You're in that world, right? So my guess is you don't experience that. You're watching it happen, but how does it affect you?
Oh, it's not true. It's not true. I do experience it, and I see the difference, and I see the passion that people develop for technologies that are 95% overlapping in some cases. But again, they found that little functionality that makes them very productive, right? And so the work of technology for enterprises today is not easy. You have to balance what people need to be, to really fulfill their potential, and, to use something that we used earlier, as well as to be creative and to do their job. But also, obviously, you want to avoid this proliferation of tools and system with too much overlapping capabilities.
Complicating things
and make it heavier. But any company and any person in the world is going through that is... is going through that journey. Technology from TVs to anything you have in your house is changing, really is changing exponentially.
We gotta
find a way to stay at pace, up to a certain point, and embrace it in a way that is proper. So we're talking, for example, about e-leadership, right? What is leadership in the digital age? Very, very different subject, but very complicated and wonderful and interesting. But think about the power of social networks in our life and how social networks are slowly triggering, getting into the enterprises, because people love to work with other people who have a similar interest or they work on the same project. So it's a fascinating, again, another reason why I'm lucky. In the past 20 years, I've seen so much change in what I work on in technology, from the power of the internet to the social network to the streaming and everything becoming almost real time, which is really, really a fascinating. It's fascinating for me.
It is. That's, everything being real time, I think, is one of the biggest changes that I've seen as an adult.
Yeah.
Is that we just know and see every day, all day long, what's happening all around the world.
Yes.
It's amazing. And it has, it's pros and cons. It can be overwhelming to have that much knowledge. But I think at the same time, that ability to engage.
Yeah, and it's making us aware.
Yes.
It's opening our eyes to what's happening in different cultures. This is why, for example, we touch on diversity. This is why it's so important for all of us to really understand what's going on in the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Something I would love for you to talk about is bringing who you are and your values to a leadership role and why that's important. You have something that you talk about, the four C's as a leader.
Yes.
So
I'm an engineer at base, so I have to categorize and come up with the formulas
for everything.
And so when I thought about, when I was reflecting about what makes you happy at work, right? And I started to think about, certainly I got to use my competence, and I love technology, so that's cool. But then what else? It's I need to use my creativity. And the creativity implies autonomy, meaning that I need to feel safe to be creative in a work environment. I also have to use my character, so my beliefs and the values that I developed through my journey in life, right? And also community, and I'm very lucky that Comcast really is supporting the outreach in communities and making a difference and, reaching out to university and talking with young students. So community is, it's important for me. It's important to give back, and it's important the people that I work with is important. So, and then I put those four C's, I called them together, but I thought, should it be a plus, C plus C? Not really, because then even if one of those four C's is zero, I would still be happy, and that's not the case. So I decided that those four C's needs to be the product, right? It needs to be a product of all the different C's so that if one goes down to zero, happiness goes to zero. that's gotta be the engineering background in me.
Right. Well, it's a good, it's just something good to have as a reminder.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And I think that everybody has their own personal equation for happiness.
They do.
Right?
They do. Well, tell me what do you least enjoy about your job? There's always something we have to do every day that we wish we didn't.
Yes. Oh, there is plenty, but
usually what we're least good at.
Yes, I'm not. So one thing I don't enjoy, but I declare that I don't enjoy it, and so I ask my team to help me, are details.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Not a detail-oriented person. I'm more the big picture. I have to start from the why and, the alignment of the stars before,
And work your way back.
Yes, yeah. Work my way up. But, yeah. But obviously it's part of my job, requires a lot of I have to be detailed. I have to look at tons of KPIs and metrics. I have to look at budget. I have to look at different elements that at the end of the day make the organization healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And so that piece, do I enjoy it? Not really. But again, I get motivated through the whys. So mm-hmm. I know that the why is important. And this is sometimes is as painful as getting on your scale once a day, right?
We
don't want to do that.
Right.
But it helps you get that KPI about your weight or whatever.
Yeah.
That may be important for you.
Yeah. We just have a few minutes left. Tell me what I know that you're involved in many other things outside of Comcast.
Yes.
And is there one organization that you work with that you would like to talk about and why
Yes.
it's important to you?
Yes. So one organization important to me, I'm part of Citizen Diplomacy International, which is a nonprofit in Philadelphia. Then I'm gonna describe what they do. But I wanted to also highlight how I got involved with that nonprofit. Again, you recognize your value. You recognize that global is important for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I got involved in an organization that basically connects the international communities to Philadelphia and vice versa.
Okay.
So to me, it's a way of really create that relationship, one smile at a time and one handshake at a time.
Okay, I love that. We'll follow up on that and share that information. That's all the time we have today. Thank you so much for listening to another week of Women to Watch, and I thank Gabriella Vaca so much for being here.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Everybody, be sure to visit our website at womentowatch.net for all things related to the show, and have a great week.